You're listening to Pastor Stephen G. Lightfoot's podcast, Sermons and Homilies by the Reverend Stephen G. Lightfoot. Pastor Stephen is an ordained elder in the Global Methodist Church and serves as senior pastor to First Methodist Church Splendora and Shepherd Methodist Church in Southeast Texas. Here is today's episode. So our epistle this morning is from Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. We've covered some of that this last month. So this morning I thought that I would narrow our focus a little bit only on the last six verses of that passage of Scripture, verses 11 through 16. And the reason I thought we'd do that is because there are some questions that we need to consider as ministers of the faith. That's who you are. Ministers of the faith working as the body of Christ in our mission field of Splendora, Texas, and surrounding. The questions that we have to consider this morning are these. When it comes to serving and ministering to the people in and out of the church, are you part of the building up of the body of Christ? Or, heaven forbid, are you part of the tearing down? When it comes to dealing with people in your day-to-day experience, are you an encourager or are you a discourager? I don't need a show of hands. When you see someone struggling physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually, do you lift them up? Is that your inclination? Or do you put them down? Do you reach out and pull them forward? Or do you hold them back? When the worldview clashes with the Christ view, as it most often does, are you a stand up, head high for Christ type person, or are you a sit down, head down, don't make waves, go along to get along person? That's a long title. Would you like to see that printed on a business card? Sit down, head down, don't make waves, go along to get along person. In short, are you a spiritually mature Christian intent on learning and growing, or are you a spiritually immature cultural Christian who does some churchy things now and again, but committing to exploring and answering God's call and purpose for your life is not really a priority for you? These are hard questions. It's the kind of thing that we usually get into around Lent when we're doing that heart surgery, right? Trying to figure out what's going on in here and making sure that what's going on in here is aligned with what God would have us be about. So Paul is writing this letter to the Ephesians and also to First Methodist Church Splendora. And he tells us in this passage that we must grow to maturity in Christ so that we will not be at the mercy of the deceitful schemes and false teachings of our time. And I have to tell you, they are plentiful. Paul is saying, insulate your heart and mind from such things by fortifying yourself with the knowledge and love of Christ. Read it, believe it, apply it, and see if your life is not transformed. Listen to what Paul writes in these verses 11 through 16 in chapter 4 of Ephesians. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Here's what he's trying to say to us. If we do that, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So let's break this down a bit so we all have a clear understanding of what Paul is trying to say to us here. Jesus handed out the gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist, and pastor teacher to train Christ followers in skilled servant work, working within Christ's body, the church, until we're all moving at the same rhythm, all easily in harmony with each other, efficient and graceful in response to God's Son, till we're all spiritually mature adults, fully developed, within, without, fully alive, like Christ, who is the head of the body. Now, how we respond to these questions that we introduced right off the bat this morning is a real litmus test on the maturity of your faith walk. Paul says in the Message version of these passages, there's going to be no more prolonged infancies among us, spiritual infancies. We'll not tolerate babes in the woods, small children who are easy prey for predators. God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth, and to tell it in love, like Christ, in everything. We take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with one another. His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us so that we will grow up healthy in God, robust in love. That's what Christ is trying to accomplish in each of you as a minister of the faith. Jesus doesn't want his church to be people wreckers. He doesn't want us to be terror downers, discouragers, holder backers. I'm coining these words. You'll find them in the dictionary later. He doesn't want us to be sit down, head down, go alongers. People who would rather not make waves. He doesn't need spiritually immature people who only do church when it suits their schedules. That's not who God is calling. Jesus wants us to be equipped for the ministry that He's given us to do as the church. He wants us to be the builders, the encouragers, the lifter-uppers, the forward movers, the stand-up, head-high Christ viewers. Those who enthusiastically learn and grow and respond to His call on our lives. Why do you suppose that's the church that Christ wants to head? Well, it's simple. The world in which we live is struggling and it's desperate. Desperately in need of the Savior Jesus. People need the church because people need Jesus. And the church is where the light of Jesus shines brightest into the darkness of the lost and broken world. This is why Jesus launched the church on Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came down and dwelt among and in those who were Christ followers and believers. The world in which we live is struggling and desperate for a Savior. People need the church because people need Jesus. It's that simple. And so, as the church, you have a purpose. Jesus tells us exactly what that purpose is for those who are mature in Christ. You find it in Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16. Jesus says, "Let me tell you why you're here." It doesn't get much clearer than that. Why am I here, God? Let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of the earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? If you lose your saltiness, you've lost your usefulness, and you'll end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it, Matthew 5, 14 through 16. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God's not a secret to be kept. God's going public, and you are the message bearers. As public as a city on a hill, Scripture says. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. And now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house with your neighbors. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, our generous Father in heaven. Turn to your neighbor and say, "I want to be a light bearer. I want to be a light bearer." Turn to your neighbor and say, "I want to be salty. We want to be salty light bearers in the world." That's our mission as the church. So people can taste godliness and see the light of Christ. And Christ is the head of the church, and you are the church, ministers of the faith. You are the body of Christ in motion in splendora. And yes, there are others. We have our Baptist neighbors across the street. We have our Assembly of God down the street. We have Pentecostals. We have just about every flavor. All called to be light bearers and salt seasoners. Your calling is to be salt and light to a tasteless and dark world. Your calling is to bring the savory, irresistible goodness of God to the people of the world, to make Christ known, a light pointing to the source of all light. You don't want to be a tearer downer. You want to be a lifter upper. Your mission is to know Christ and to make Christ known in the world. And as global Methodists, your mission is to make disciples of Jesus Christ who worship passionately, love extravagantly, and witness boldly. Isn't that a wonderful mission statement? Somebody was inspired by the Holy Spirit when they wrote that down. And our job as the church is to live into that mission, worshiping our God passionately, not just on Sunday, loving one another and our neighbors extravagantly. That's extravagant love is that kind of love that's costly to give sometimes. It's the abundant love of Christ that we give as the church. And then the last part of that is to witness boldly. And just say to yourself, when's the last time I witnessed to anybody about my faith? How do you witness? You witness by living a life of holiness, a life of Christ-likeness in the world. And sometimes you use words. Telling people what Christ has done in your life and why it is that you struggle through all the storms, named and otherwise, and still manage to get through with your joy intact. You see, that's the difference between Christ followers and the rest of the world. We're not immune from the storms, but we know that Jesus walks through them with us. We know that on the other side, we still have the same joy because joy is up to us. We choose it. I know you're quiet because it's 9 a.m. on a Sunday when the rest of the world, most of them, are sleeping in. But just think of the worship that they miss out on in their slumber. Just think of the fellowship over a nice cup of coffee that they missed out on this morning. Just think of the kolaches they didn't get to feast on. Thank you, Ellis. Because they slept in. Gene had a kolache with boudin in it.
The Holy Trinity.
The Holy Trinity. What can I say? The point is, as a follower of Christ, when you lean into your mission as a minister of the faith, there's nothing out there that can steal your joy. And so you have all of this God-given energy to be the church to those that need Him. And when they wake up from their slumber later on, and you go out beyond those doors into the world, you'll have an opportunity to shine some of that light on them and to bring them some of that saltiness. And hopefully, by the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells without, by God's prevenient grace on them, they will have divine opportunities through you to figure out that there's something missing in their lives. And then you can show them what it is that you have that they don't. Not in a boastful manner. We never boast on what we have. We boast on what God has given us. And when they figure out that you've got something that they need, they may start to ask you questions. Have your supply of little Jesuses ready. Because when you give them a little Jesus, that is the perfect way to open a conversation about what it is inside of you that they have recognized that they need. I'll get off my soapbox. Make disciples of Jesus Christ who worship passionately, love extravagantly, and witness boldly. This is your time to shine in the world. God has called you to it. Live into that calling. Don't just do church on Sunday. Don't just do church on Wednesday evening. Be the church for this community that needs Jesus. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Come back again next week for a new message. And until then, may God bless you and keep you.